you know, in Arizona, you know, our senators. Things have happened. I was born and raised here. Seeing people voted in, or people where people could be perceived as voted in, things that I didn't see happen my whole life, I would never have dreamt of. How about you? Having two senators in my state that are pro-abortion, pro-gay marriage. Can I say that? God is for marriage between a man and a woman. Well, look at that in the book of Romans. Have you read that in the book of Romans? Does he still love people? Absolutely. He came to seek and save that which is lost. Come on out of darkness. Jesus, when we're talking to people, come out of darkness into his marvelous light. The problem is we live in a world where John says people love darkness rather than light, so they oppose it. So understand that we're dealing with people and a spirit that opposes light. Opposes light. You agree with me? They oppose the First Amendment, the Second Amendment. I don't care if it looks like we've lost the White House, we've lost the Senate. I don't care what the corporate world looks like. When we hear now about different corporations saying that if you supported Trump, you need to lose your job, you need to be prosecuted. You've heard that? But I'm telling you this morning, we're going to be encouraged this morning regardless. I've decided that for myself. I was talking to somebody who was showing me a piece of land, and we thought the same way. So she went into what we're dealing with, and I agreed with her, but I said, but for Jesus. And she stopped in her tracks. I don't know if she was a believer, because I could have the same thoughts, the same convictions for the First and Second Amendment, but there's no hope without Jesus there. We've got to realize, even if we're on the same side of some of this, if you don't know Christ, there's no hope for the future. There's no hope for this being turned around except for Christ. But when I said, except for Jesus, it just stopped her. She didn't know what to say. She didn't say anything. But I hope I gave her something to think about. The way I said it, there's hope in Christ. Because as she went on, she was railing about those things. I understood what she meant, what she was saying. Well, what's the answer? The thing is, what's the answer, right? So when I saw what was happening at the Capitol, I felt such sorrow, but maybe not for what you think. I felt sorrow that we had what happened at the Capitol, and we have an outrage from Democrats and Republicans, but as the cities this past summer were being burned down and people being executed. Remember the one gentleman that was retired or off-duty police officer trying to protect his friend's business got executed? I didn't hardly hear anything about it. Didn't hardly hear anything about it. I was sorrowful that we could have what happened at the Capitol. And sometimes when the fire's hot in your own kitchen, all of a sudden you care. So we have Republicans and Democrats up in arms of what happened in the Capitol, but what had been happening through the whole summer, a lot of people, especially in all the networks, pretending like it didn't happen. I was sorrowful for that. I was sorrowful for how many people have all of a sudden turned on our president. You know, it just made me realize I'm not putting my confidence in the Republican Party. I'm realizing that people are out to save their own skin. I'll support you, President Trump, when it's going to help me. But when it doesn't help me no more, I'm going to turn on you. But isn't that what the flesh, man himself, that's what we do? Yeah. So it made me realize, Lord, I said, yeah, Lord, I'm going to put my confidence in you. So as I started looking at the Word of God, and I started reading the Word of God, and I'll get there, something just started sparking in my heart that, man, this isn't new. We've seen this before. I think of the apostles, the beginning of of the first church, what they dealt with. How strong was the church, the first church? And look at the government. They didn't only have a government oppose them, but they had the Jewish church oppose them. Don't be surprised if we start seeing certain aspects of the so-called American church opposing us because we don't line up with the government. Don't be surprised if we start seeing that. Remember, nothing is new under the sun. That first church, being opposed by the government. And boy, I'm talking about a government that opposed Christianity. but also having their own, the Jewish church opposing Christianity. Matter of fact, it was the Jewish church that was raising up a lot of the stuff that was festering in the anger, the hate towards the church. That's one reason why you had Paul say, remember, if you read in the book of Acts, he dusted himself off and he says, I'm going to the Gentiles. You guys have done nothing but cause me trouble. You don't want to hear his voice. And I'm hoping today that the church in America, that we will hear his voice. Be careful. What voice are you hearing? What voice? What are you listening to? I don't know anybody. I'm asking myself the same thing. What am I listening to? What am I putting my hope for? Where am I getting my information? Is it eternal information? Things I can, you know, I'm building my house on the rock. I don't want to build my house on the sand, right? I want to be careful. It's something I've challenged myself with because I've got to encourage myself. I don't want to take in things that end up that don't happen and then I'm discouraged. Can I say it that way? Amen. That wasn't even in my notes. See, I've been evaluating who I have been listening to during the election season. There's been many voices prophesying this and prophesying that. And we know, and so I've had to kind of cut that out. Because I've heard a lot of things that just didn't happen. Didn't happen. That's okay. What it's done for me is saying, okay, Lord, I'm going to go right back to the Word of God. Yeah, of course there's prophecy. Of course there's those things that are definitely powerful and true. I'm not saying that. I'm saying putting my trust back in the Word of God. And by the way, I know there's things happening behind the scenes that I'm not aware of that can still happen. But I'm not putting my trust there, though, because if it doesn't happen, I'm not going to tell 50,000 unbelievers this is going to happen. It doesn't. My credibility is destroyed. But if I know if I focus on him being the answer, I keep my credibility. I want to have my credibility. How about you? Yeah. Pointing to him. Well, the first thing we need to remember is that nothing is a surprise to God, and no government, no prime minister, no president, no nation can thwart his plan. Do you believe that? When there was wicked leaders, this didn't mean God agrees with their choices by any means. However, know that God is still God even in the midst of broken, corrupt leaders. Not even talking about presidents, senators, down to mayors, whatever. And even with corrupt leaders, God's plan is still intact with the church. Because the power of God rests with who? The church. It does not rest with the government. Oh, yeah, in the world sense, money, control, the media. But can the government, the media, bring joy? Can it bring happiness? Can it set the captive free? Who's the only one that can set the captive free? Jesus. So regardless of where power looks like in the natural, maybe just this minute, know that the power lies with his church. What's the scripture? Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Amen? You shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. A life is transformed. A marriage is transformed. Children, broken. The broken world is transformed by the message of the gospel. So we need not to be discouraged. In 1 Timothy 5, 24 and 25, it says, the sin of man. I want to read this because it seems like sometimes that people get away with things. Leaders, corrupt leaders, it looks like they get away with things, but it says the sin of man, corrupt leaders and people don't get away with anything. The sins of some people are quite evident in verse 24, going before them to judgment. This is Paul in the New Testament. For others, their sins follow after. Seems like meaning some people, ungodly, wicked people, looks like they pay the price here sometimes while they're on earth. They're exposed. And others, it says it follows them. They have to stand before the King of Kings someday. They have to give an account of their lives. Nobody gets away with anything, brothers and sisters. When we look at it with eternal eyes, nobody gets away with anything. Being you and brothers and sisters, Christ, the church, can't wait to see his face because not because I'm perfect, because I'm washed in the blood of the Lamb. Foolishness to those who don't know him. But the saving power for people that come to Jesus, amen? The saving power. So regardless if it looks like people are getting away with things, they are not. Life is short. Eternity is really long. Do you agree with me? We're going to be with Him forever. We're going to be with Him in a government that is totally 100% true. Truth. The King of Kings, where it says there won't even be a sun because His glory will shine. So we're never going to have things perfect now. We're going to fight for it. I'm not giving up. But understand, nothing's going to be perfect. Nothing is going to be utopia until we're with Him. Do you agree with that? Do you agree with that? So if we can keep on our focus on the Word of God, we are to be greatly encouraged today. I don't want to be a believer that is looking for his encouragement from voices in the media. I've decided that. I decided that as I started reading in Isaiah, in the book of Isaiah. I love the book of Isaiah. The prophet that really had a prophesied the coming Christ. Now he just saw him, you know, dimly as in a glass. Wasn't sure what he was talking about. But Isaiah, let me just mention Isaiah real quick. King Isaiah was looked upon to bring revival to Israel. This is King Uzziah. He ruled in Israel 52 years. Became king when he was 16. He was a man of God. At the very, towards the end of his life, he did a few things he shouldn't have because he thought he was that in a bag of chips, as Pastor would say. Got himself in trouble, but he was a good king. So he was looked at to bring revival to Israel. He instituted the law like it hadn't been since perhaps the days of King David. He was innovative. He fortified the borders of Israel. He built the military and modernized the military for that time. He had the supports of all the prophets of that era. He had the prophets, including Isaiah, praying for him, counseling him. They were hoping and praying that this King Uzziah could bring revival to Israel, the people of God. That was their hope. But as we go through this, we're going to see that Isaiah's eyes, his shifting, his thoughts, his focus begin to change. Because as Christians, we're going to see what we focus on. That first scripture, in the year that King Uzziah's death, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, lofty, exalted, and the train of his robe filling the temple. Can you believe that, what he saw? In the year that King Uzziah died. So he'd been looking for just a particular leader to bring revival to Israel. They were focused on that. And they realized that when King Uzziah died, that what they had expected and anticipated did not work out like they thought. There was discouragement at that time. He was a mighty 52 years. And they thought, surely with the godly king, the people in that country are going to put their focus on God. They're going to come back from their backslidden condition, come back from following other gods, come back to focus on the one that created them, the one that instituted the country of Israel. We're talking about the children of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, those who came through the Red Sea. And here with this king being instituted, being in place for 52 years, in the year that King Uzziah died, I begin to focus on the Lord. And Isaiah, who then started turning his focus on him, saw things that no other prophet saw, whether it be the major prophets or minor prophets. I see Jesus. Couldn't explain it, didn't know what it meant, but he said, I see Jesus. In the year that King Uzziah died, in the year that I thought the revival was going to take place in a certain situation with a certain set of politicians, and it didn't quite happen that way. Lord, I'm just going to look to you, and now I see you clearly. And I'm hoping we can see him clearly regardless of what goes on. I don't care who's going to go into the White House on the 20th or the 21st or 22nd. I'm going to see the Lord. How about you? That is what the body of Christ needs to do. There's nothing new under the sun. Anything that we're dealing with now has happened before. We can be encouraged that the body of Christ, the church is going to go forward. The true church is going to go forward in strength. We're seeing a separation of the wheat and chaff right now. Those who want to have a form of godliness but deny the power are not going to have any effect in this time in our nation. But those, we're not going to put their reliance on any government, put their reliance on Jesus Christ, are going to go forth, and those are the churches that are going to grow and be healthy and are going to do great exploits for Him. How about you? I want to do great exploits for Him. I don't know what that means for you or me, right? Different for each one of us. Exploits. The power of God. Calling, giftings, abilities. His provision. How is He going to provide you in this day and age? I don't know, but I know when I trust Him, He will provide for us. Amen. Do you agree with that? He will provide. Lavishly provide for His children. Thank you, Father. In verse 2, it said, seraphim stood above Him, each having six wings. Could you imagine? Just think in your mind, your imagination, what Isaiah saw. Regardless of what was going on, mind you, it was a time of uncertainty. Time of what's going to happen now? What direction is this going to go? What am I going to see? What am I going to do? But mind you that this is something that happens right at that time. And this is what Isaiah began to see. Having six wings, and two covered His face, and with two He covered His feet, and with two He flew. And one called out to another, saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. Could you imagine the sight in the throne room of God that He's seeing? The whole earth is full of His glory. By the way, the whole earth is still full of His glory, brothers and sisters. As heaven is a seraphim, and the angels were declaring this as Isaiah gets to see this with his own eyes. And verse 4, and the foundations of the thresholds trembled, and the voice of Him who called out while the temple was filled with smoke, shaking. Could you imagine the power, the voices, the worship of God, and the foundations trembled. 5, then it says, then I said, this is Isaiah, it says, then I said, woe is me, for I am ruined. Now understand, he's Old Testament. He don't have Christ, but he's in the presence of God. He's seeing things that most nobody's seen. So he said, woe is me, for I am ruined, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I live amongst the people of unclean lips. We still live amongst the people of unclean lips. We do. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphims flew to me, Isaiah, with a burning coal in his hand, which he had taken from the altar with tongs. Now we know an altar. Well, who gave His life? Jesus, that final altar. That's what we see there, that reference, that coal, that burning coal, the Spirit of God. It was like, remember on the day of Pentecost, there was like tongues of fire set on each head. Kind of like that coal that Isaiah said, that Holy Spirit, representation of the Holy Spirit, the blood of Jesus washing the believer, the Holy Spirit filling the believer, cleansing my tongue, that what I declare has power. What I say to others brings life. What I say to others brings hope. So what he realized then, he says, hey, look, I'm amongst the people that don't know You. We've been with the King for 52 years trying to bring revival, and I'm before You, Lord, and I see You and realize that many don't know You. I'm amongst the people that don't speak of You, that don't believe in You, that declare things that are lies, declare things that are untruthful, but I'm going to declare the truth in the name of Jesus as the fire of the Holy Spirit touches my heart in this day, in this hour, declaring truths of Him. Amen. Thank You, Lord. Then one of the seraphim flew again to me in a burning coal in his hand. In verse 7, read it again. Which he had taken from the altar with tongs. He touched my mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched your lips, and your iniquity is taken away, and your sin has been forgiven. Lord, thank You that our sin has been forgiven. Now, I haven't seen what Isaiah has seen, but the Word of God says I'm seated with Him in heavenly places. I have that same position of power. I have a position of authority and power Isaiah never had. But this here, I find it interesting that he could have said, I saw the Lord. No, he said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. And I'm just saying here today that as I'm still a patriot and everything, I'm not going to look for any government to bring a change to people's hearts. I'm going to look to Jesus Christ to do that. Now, he'll work through governors, he'll work through presidents, he'll work through mayors, whatever needs to be done. But it's still the Spirit of God that changes people. Because during that time, Uzziah had instituted the law. He had instituted all these things. You can't do this. You can't do that. There's no more abortion. You can't worship other gods. You can't. They tore down the high places where they burned incense to other gods. All of that was removed, but it did not change the people's hearts. Laws won't change people's hearts. The Spirit of God writing his law on my heart. The biggest way to change the country, my heart grieves over abortion, but knowing, by the way, that anybody who's experienced it, Jesus forgives you. He loves you. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions. I'm a new creation. Old things are passed away. Boy, I'm glad the old thing. I got a lot of old things, do you? Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And all things are from him. His Spirit writing his laws within my heart to be that husband, to be that father, to be that friend. Amen. You can give me a book on how to be a good husband and this never worked for me. I tried, but as God began to change my, I'm not saying books and different things, I'm not saying that at all, but it's really that as God is working your life and you're growing closer to him and you're loving him, it's amazing how things just start changing. You just start changing in your behavior, start changing in your outlook, start changing in how you respond to things, right? The Spirit of God. Amen. And it says, Isaiah's commission, if we go to verse 8, says, then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then I said, this is Isaiah, here I am, send me. Send me. Then God's saying from this throne room, and I'll read this and I'll come back. He said, go and tell this people, keep on listening, but do not perceive. Keep on looking, but do not understand. Render the hearts of this people insensitive, their ears dull, and their eyes dim. Otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and return and be healed. So as we're declaring, understand as we declare his truths, there's just going to be some people's ears are just going to be dull. They're not going to hear. Can we start praying that in this town that the dullness of hearing would be removed? That people say the things, what we've been doing, government, whatever, it's not working. Regardless of it's people on the right or left that need to find Jesus, amen, that their ears would be opened. Sometimes even the one that's might be in themselves the most righteous. I don't need Jesus. I'm good at I do this. I donate my time. I give to charities. I'm a good person. I believe the same way you do, Chad. But they need Jesus. Amen. So him saying, realizing what I realized that as I was reading this time is that's when I understood that even during the time of Uzziah, King Uzziah, people were dull. He'd instituted all these laws. You can't worship these other gods. You can't do this. You can't do that. But he said, whoa, I'm a man of unclean lips. Amongst a people with unclean lips. But as that coal touched his mouth, which today would be a representation of the Spirit of God, he was able to stand, declare the truth, even though many people's ears were dull of hearing. You see it now if you want to mention Jesus. I don't know if that gal that I said, but be Jesus in it. I pray that that gal would not be dull of hearing. I pray that her right now, in Jesus' name, that her ears and eyes would be open to the gospel. so that she would come to rest in peace with those things that are bothering her. What's going on? I get it. It bothers me too. It bothered me more until God showed me this. There's always a spiritual truth that we got to be careful. It was during the same time with Jesus. Jesus, if you're going to destroy the Roman Empire, we'll follow you. If you're not, we're going to kill you. And that's what ended up happening. That's what ended up happening. So what am I still believing as we move along here? What am I still believing? What am I focusing on? And maybe you can ask yourself and maybe write a little list sometimes just saying, you know, what am I focusing on? Sometimes writing things down will help me clarify. It'll help me say, okay, this is where I need to prioritize. One thing I do know, it says, is that we are still rooted and grounded in, I am rooted and grounded in love. I think of that scripture, it says, they will know you are Republicans. My disciples. They will know you are my disciples by your love for one another. Wow, the church, a group, this powerful group, this little body here, little bodies, can have a huge impact. A huge impact with the people I come in. If anything, as I'm coming into contact with people where I just thought business, business, business. I'm in business today. I love Jesus. Now when I come in contact with people, I'm thinking, Lord, how can I show your love? Because it's not all just about business or the normal day-to-day thing. How can I show forth the love and the praises of him? I'm not talking about just having to cram it down their throat, but an opportunity, looking for opportunities, letting my conversation be seasoned with grace. Isn't that what it says? Seasoned with grace. Number two, I'm believing that the Church of Jesus Christ is going to grow in strength and power. When that happens is when the church starts to grow in numbers. You've got to have power. But Lord, I'm praying during this time that the church, the true church, raises up in power, not in fear, not in bowing to everything the government says. I'm not saying that. Raise it up in power. That's when people say, what do they have? They got confidence. They got love. There's something there that will attract them. I'm believing that to happen in this day and hour. How about you? Absolutely. Number three, that God is still going to bless his people. I believe that with all my heart. I don't know how that will look for each individual, but there is a way, but there is many ways and examples of the people of God walking in divine provision and protection in the Bible. Do not believe this will be the case for you. I believe it'll be the case for me. Look at examples in the Bible of God's divine protection and provision upon people. That's what I want to look at. Because I think the government's going to start spending and printing money like you can't believe. I don't know what happens to the dollar, but I know I don't focus on that. When I'm focused on that and what I need to do, I go mad because I guess I'm just not smart enough. I didn't buy Bitcoin, I'm sorry. But I know when I'm focusing on him, saying, Lord, how are you going to provide for me during this time? You've got that vein of provision and blessing for me. Amen. And I know that this year that I'm going to still be a giver to my church. Yes, I said it. Amen. And a giver to others. Be a blessing to others. Because you really can't outgive the Lord. I am confident because of his word and examples in the scripture that I don't have to get fearful and tighten up. Sowing and reaping, giving to need, God giving back to you, being bountiful. I believe in that. How about you? Amen. Number four, I am looking to have an impact on my sphere of influence. If you want to know how we can change things, have an impact on those around you. I'm not Billy Graham preaching to millions, but I have my sphere of influence I can encourage, strengthen, right? Point them to the love of Christ, pointing to truths about God's love for the unborn. Pointing to them that God forgives you for your sins. Pointing that he is a good father, like we sang today, that he has a path for you. What's that? That's in Jeremiah 29:11. I forget the scripture, but I have plans for you. Understand, he has a plan for you. Are you seeing that? Can you focus on it? I'm looking to have an impact on my sphere of influence. Number five, I am still a patriot and will be involved in the political process. Don't take any of my comments as just being a pacifist. No, I simply believe my citizenship starts in heaven and flows from that understanding. When it flows from that understanding, that's where we can have impact. My impact, yes, in fighting as a patriot, but I'm always pointing to Christ. I have to as a believer, because that's the eternal answer. Like I saw in the back of a guy's shirt one time, he says, it's not the problem of dying that bothers me, it's the thought of being dead for so long. Interesting. But we don't really die, do we? But understanding life is short, eternal impact. So I'm still going to fight as a patriot. I'm still going to fight for truths. But I'm going to make sure I do it from a point of his love and referencing him as the answer. Amen? I'm going to read a few scriptures real quick. I thought these were would be impactful this morning, from Romans 12, 9 through 21. I'm just going to read this. It really has to do with the church. What's the church? How's the church live? How's the church response? How's the church think? So in Romans 12, 9 through 21, verse 9 says, "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good." Amen? Cling to what is good. 10, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. That's the church. Give preference to one another in honor, honoring another, one another, forgiving one another, not allowing ourselves to become resentful towards one another. We're all different, right? So walking in that pact of love, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Well, serving the Lord out of the Holy Spirit that's in me, and big and mighty, accomplishing whatever He has placed in my heart since the beginning of time, and in your heart and soul as well. Rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer. Devoted to prayer, saying, Lord, thank you. What do you mean devoted to prayer? I'm always throughout the day, thank you, Lord. Just not some religious act that I have to do, but my mind is constantly saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for President Trump. Thank you for truth. Thank you for what you're doing, the things that you're doing that I don't see behind the scenes. But I'm not going to be disappointed on putting my eggs in a basket that I don't know is going to happen or not. I just had too much of that. I'm sorry. I'm going to be devoted to prayer, saying, Lord, thank you for building your church, touching hearts, saving souls, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Wednesday, we're going to have 30 minutes together before we have our service. We're going to practice hospitality, hanging out, getting to know one another. Not a bad thing, right? Amen. Bless those. This could be very important. 14. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Wow. Being a blessing. Let that one sink in. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Just talking about those tender mercies of the body of Christ, right? When caring for each other's needs, caring for what's going on in others' lives. Amen? Amen. 16. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimate. 17, never repay evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all people. 18, if possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all people. 19, this is one that kind of hit me. It says, never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Kind of goes along that same line. There's going to be, unfortunately, a day of reckoning for unbelievers and those contrary to God. I hate to say it, that he loves people, but they make their choices to be contrary to God. They choose to be blind, not to hear. Those who would cause harm to us, we pray for them. We bless them, but know that God's the one that's going to make every... He's going to wipe the slate. He's going to even the table, so to speak, at one time. Everything is going to be made right. Do you believe that? Amen. 20. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. And then 21 says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. How many overcomers we have in the house today? As the worship team comes, I know I kind of went through this quickly. I hope that you can see as we stand up.
I feel led to just share this morning and prayerfully ask you to consider this. Right after I got born again and spirit-filled, and I read that scripture, the first thing in my heart was, God, please don't send me to Africa. They have people over there with really big spears. And please don't send me to South America because they have really big snakes down there. And then I really don't want to go to China because... And I was overcome with the fear of where God was going to call me. And I knew if he called me, he would prepare me and he would give me whatever I needed. But this morning, what I want to share with you is if you dare to say, here I am, Lord, send me. God sent me to a people that I loved. And he sent me to a ministry field where I understood them and they understood me. And he gave me a language to share Christ with them. And I spent many, many years in ministry to the livestock industry, where I belonged, where I was raised up. God has a purpose for you. Just dare this morning. And I sat in the middle of my bed, and I began to sing. I heard the voice of the Lord saying, who shall I send? I heard the voice of my Lord saying, who shall I send? Then said I, here am I. Then said I, here am I, send me. I just encourage you this morning. Just say, here I am, send me.
Amen. Can we stand together? Amen. You love him this morning, don't you? This morning, just as we sing the song, I'm going to stay up here. If you want to come up and have prayer, feel free. But just in this day and this hour, all I can say is to say, Lord, thank you. Just say, Lord, thank you. Open my eyes. We all have areas we need our eyes open. Don't you agree? Lord, open my eyes. I want to see you more clearly. I want that Sophia revelation that Pastor Lee talks about. I want to be able to love those who maybe I've come to really resent and maybe hate right now. Can I be honest? It didn't matter than a wet hen? Is that what it's? I don't even know what that means, but I heard that. Say, Lord, can change my heart in this day and hour. I can't be effective being angry, resentful, hatred towards people that are contrary to Christ and are contrary to me, to be frankly. Frank. Father, allow my love to flow through that those people could be changed. That's what's going to, it's not going to be any laws that changes a heart. It's going to be the love of Christ. We thank you for that today, Father, as we worship this morning. We thank you for touching every heart. Father, we thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit that rests upon people. If you don't know him, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, know that he loves you. He died for your sins. If you accept Christ, if you invite him into your life and say, Jesus, I believe you're God, wash my sins away, the Word of God says you shall be saved. That simple, by faith. It's simple. You don't have to take any steps. You don't have to do this or that. When his Holy Spirit comes in you, you'll take some steps. So we're going to sing this song. We'll dismiss. Thank you so much for being here. Continue to have Pastor Lee in prayer. Amen. Blessing him as God continues to heal his body. We thank you for strengthening your church in might, Lord. Open hearts. Broken hearts healed in the name of Jesus Christ of hurt and pain of the past, Father God. Those things, people, that can devastate people. Lord, we thank you for healing those things. Things that keep people trapped in sorrow, trapped in what ifs, regret, Father God. We thank you, Father, for breaking those things. We release those things to you right now in Jesus' name. The past is gone. But today you have him as your hope.
Amen. Yes.
And what Paul says, with hope, we can accomplish anything. Yeah. So we thank you for that today, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen.